Now that you're running your own wedding planning business, how do you find customers? Hi, welcome. Thank you for joining me. I'm Debbie Quain. You're listening to another episode of the WeddingsForALiving.com show. I almost said podcast. I used the word podcast last episode. Do you know, I almost hate the word podcast as much as I hate the word blog. I love the resources that they are, but those words, blog, podcast, not a favorite. But I'll leave that for another show. If you're so into planning weddings that you want to plan them for others, you're in the right place. That's what this show is all about. I'm here to help you as much as I can to turn that passion of weddings, that nuptial love that you have, into a business or into a career, perhaps working for someone else. If you need more information, check out weddingsforaliving.com. That's weddingsforaliving.com. So today, I wanted to address a question that I get a lot of people ask me this question, and it's usually just, how do I find customers for my wedding planning business? How do I market my wedding planning business? And I understand the reason to ask the question being asked, but it's a difficult question for me to answer without having more knowledge about your wedding business. So note to self, meaning you, if you're asking a question about marketing your business, you got to give me a little bit of background as to what it is that you're doing with the business, what's different about it, where you're located, what type of services you offer. But let me see if I can answer this question generally for you. So having clients and customers that are paying you are the lifeline for any business, whether you're doing this wedding thing or something else. Because without customers, you have no business. You're not making any money. One of the downsides of being a professional wedding planner is that for the most part, hopefully, a wedding is a one-time event. Once the wedding is over, that relationship, that business relationship that you spent so much time cultivating, it ends. It's over. It's a one-time thing. Not much repeat business coming in. And yes, I know you can plan other social events. For the most part, though, if you plan someone's wedding, that's it. That's it. Unless you're working with a group of people that routinely hire professional event or party planners for their events. But for the most part, most of us will host a party, a birthday party, anniversary party, and we'll do it on our own. The wedding is the big enchilada where we try to bring in help, which is where you come in. So when you decide that you want to plan weddings for a living, so you've transitioned from doing this as a hobby for friends and family, and you want to make money doing this, marketing what it is that you do overtakes the planning itself, because now you're an entrepreneur. And as I mentioned, without business, without customers, you're not really in business. You're still doing weddings as a hobby. So the wedding part takes a back seat. And this is difficult for many of us in this industry, because most of us that get into the wedding planning thing for money aren't doing it because they want to start a business. They're doing it because they want to take the passion of planning weddings and doing that full time. Yes, that's a business, but that's the mindset. It's like, I love this. I love doing this so much. I want to do it all the time, but I got to live. I got to eat. I got to pay my mortgage. I got to pay my rent. I got to feed my kids. I got to survive. So therefore I must charge for this. So we start a business because, as I mentioned, your customers come and then go, a one-time event. What you have to do is to find the evergreen part, the part that's going to be around over and over again, no matter what. And it's not your clients, because as I said, for about the third time, maybe the fourth time now, there's no repeat business for the most part. So what are the evergreen elements of what we do for weddings? It's the people who are in the business of weddings, because they're doing weddings over and over again. The professional wedding vendors, the people that have venues where people get married, those are the elements that are the repeat for us. So what you have to do is to latch on to that. In most communities, in most cities, in most towns, the wedding professional circle, it's pretty close-knit. Most of the wedding vendors see each other at all the weddings that they're working on. So photographers, caterers, florist, videographer, they're seeing one another all the time. So let's say you're a wedding photographer. You're probably going to see the same DJ, same band, same caterer a few times this year. Because if you're booking weddings and if you're taking photos at weddings, you've probably got a few gigs lined up. You're seeing these vendors over and over again. But you're also going to see who really knows their stuff and who really doesn't know their stuff. So you'll know if the DJ is really good at getting the crowd excited and really enjoying the party, the wedding reception. You'll get to see how good the food is for this caterer, not just word of mouth. You're there firsthand because you're a wedding vendor. You're seeing what's going on. You're seeing the response and feedback from wedding guests and clients and so forth. So as the photographer, this means when you come across your clients, when they're contacting you, hopefully hiring you to take their wedding pitches, if they say, "Wow, we're looking for a DJ right now, and if we can find someone, great, we'll be good, but we're having a bit of a hard time." You as photographer will say, "Hold on a second, I know a great DJ," because you've seen this person in action. And then you refer that DJ to your clients. That's how it works. So do you see now, if you're the wedding planner and you're out there planning, coordinating weddings, when someone says to that photographer, just in the same way they said, "We need a DJ," they say, "Gosh, we're really having a hard time getting this wedding planning thing together," then the photographer is going to say, "Hold on a second. I know someone. I've got a great wedding planner. I've seen her. I've done a few weddings and she's been there. Maybe it's just one. Or a wedding I did last month and it was fantastic." This is why developing relationships with the wedding professionals locally is so important for you as a professional wedding planner. When the other vendors know what it is that you do, and especially when they see how much easier the wedding is flowing when you're around, when you're the point of contact, they're going to send you business just like that. Just like that. So I know you're interested in the social media aspect and your website. These are all important things. But don't overlook the folks that are right there in your backyard. And new wedding planners and even some established wedding planners just don't get this. They don't understand the importance of making friends with your local wedding vendors. You've got to know who these people are. They have to know what it is that you do. They're meeting the people that you need to do business with. So if you're rubbing shoulders with them, when someone needs the service that you, the wedding planner, is offering, they're going to send business your way. I've been talking about this for years, and then sometimes I see acknowledgement, but I don't see people putting it into practice. They're hesitant to meet vendors, or they meet a couple of vendors and the response isn't great, and then they kind of back off from that. You need to make friends with local professional wedding vendors. Not everybody's going to be warm and fuzzy with you. That's okay. Keep it moving. As an entrepreneur, it's not always going to be great for us. We're going to have to struggle a little bit. Hey, if it was so easy, everybody would be running their own business. It's a select few that can do this. So when you decide, "Hey, I love weddings so much that I want to plan weddings for a living for a fee," then you're going to have to take the rough with the smooth. Don't I always manage to get one of those kind of cliche things in what I'm saying? But that's the reality of being an entrepreneur. So you got to make friends with the local professional wedding vendors. The next thing, in helping you find clients is that you have to position yourself as the local go-to wedding expert. It's a great way for people to be attracted to you as a wedding planner, that is. Maybe other ways too, I don't know. But the thing is, the majority of, and I said this the last episode, the majority of people getting married won't consider hiring a full-service wedding planner. They just don't, they won't. That's just the way it is. But what's almost guaranteed is that someone who is planning a wedding is going to search online for wedding planning help. That's what we do. Isn't that what we do? When we're looking for information, we go online. Whether it's to find a location, whether it's to find a particular car because maybe, you know, there's you want to, the client wants, the bride wants a vintage car to take her from the ceremony site to the reception site. Most of us, we turn, right now it's Google, to find whatever it is we're looking for. So the importance, yes, you got to have a website. You have to have an online presence. You have to be there. So just imagine, right? If your local wedding website or your wedding blog, there's that word again, comes up when this person is searching for whatever it is they're searching for. Maybe it is for that vintage car. And imagine once she sees your website in the search results, imagine if she spends the next 30 minutes to an hour on your site just reading all of your local wedding how-tos. Wasn't looking for you as a wedding planner, but just in searching for this car that she wants for her wedding, comes across your site. For some reason, one of your articles comes up because you've optimized it for someone looking for a certain type of car for their wedding in your area. And what if, after reading these different articles, these blog posts, what if she then clicks on the about link, the about page, to find out who is it that's writing all this stuff? It's great. Who's the author of this? And then once she gets to your about page, she reads a small bio, a short bio, says you're a professional wedding planner and how much you love weddings. You've been planning weddings for however long, but she's already sold on you because you've given her a whole lot of information without asking for anything from her. That information is just there. And she sees that you do wedding planning. You can help with the wedding planning process, whether it's right from the beginning or if it's just to help with a particular task, maybe finding that vintage car she's looking for, or maybe just helping out on the wedding day. And then she sees that you're promoting that you want to speak to her. Call me. No obligation. I'd love to chat and help you out with your wedding plans to see how I can help you. That's the copy. That's the wording on your about page. And she's on the site. Let's say she's on her smartphone. That's where a lot of us are on now, right? We're on our mobile devices. She sees you have a phone number there. And she clicks that link because it's a clickable phone number. And the next thing you know, she's calling your office. She's calling your number. Maybe you've got Freedom Voice. Try freedomvoice.com. Just like that. You have a potential customer who wasn't even looking for a professional wedding planner. That person's contacting you. And it's all because of the information you provided on your local wedding website or blog. No advertising, no cold calling. No, you must do this to get this. You must give me your firstborn in order to get this information. Just like that, you have received a warm lead because she's warm now. Warm meaning, so you got cold leads and warm leads. A cold lead would be someone who doesn't know anything about you but contacts you. A warm lead would be, hey, Debbie suggested I give you a call, so I'm giving you a call. But because this person has spent so much time on your website, reading all of your information, she's kind of warmed up to you. Hence the term warm lead. How valuable is that? How valuable is that? And all because you were smart enough to provide valuable local information on your wedding blog. You've positioned yourself as an expert. You didn't even realize that, right? But you have now positioned yourself as a local wedding expert. The thing is, most of us do business with people we like and trust. How often have you heard that? It's the truth. That's what we do. It's not always about price. You know that. But we buy things that appeal to us. And sometimes it's really about the person who's selling the item or suggesting the item to us. Because if I trust you, if I believe what it is that you're saying, and I know you have my best interest at heart, and I was looking at getting item A, item B costs more than item A, and I thought item A was what I wanted. But you have told me the reasons why item B costs more and what I'm going to get. I'm going to get more value for my buck. I'm probably going to buy item B because you said so. I like you. I trust you. That's the same kind of thing you want as a local wedding planner. And if you can wrap your head around that concept, you're going to do much better in finding clients for your wedding business. So few wedding planners do this. Forget wedding planners. So few business owners do this and get this. So as you build your wedding business, it's important to position yourself as the local wedding expert who provides tons of information about planning a local wedding. When you do this, you're breaking down the barrier and the apprehension that most people have when they first meet you. The more time someone spends absorbing the information that you're providing, the more likely it is that they will want to get in touch with you. That's what you want. Vendor relationships and providing local info are my top suggestions for finding customers. My top suggestions. Now, the methods that you use to accomplish those tasks are countless. Personally, for me, I'm typically in give-to-get mode. I'm thinking, what can I do to help this person, for the most part? What can I do to help this individual, whether it's someone planning a wedding or whether it's another professional wedding vendor? Heck, if it's someone that's running a local business, especially if they're running their business on their own, I almost always start thinking, what can I do to help them? Can I refer someone to them? Can I suggest a resource for them? And it's not because I'm thinking, because at the end of the day, I want something back from them, but because I'm usually in give-to-get mode, it's just something that's within me. And it really isn't rocket science, because the same downside that I mentioned earlier, no repeat business for us, it works in your favor, kind of, because when you're creating the information that I just shared with you, suggested to you, you know, the blog post, the information on the wedding website, you're just sharing it one time. For the most part, people are planning the wedding once. So they'll absorb all that information and hopefully call you and then move on. And then the next batch comes in. So what that means is you create it once and it's there for the next couple of months, years. It's there. Now, with a blog, the whole idea is that you update it routinely with bits of information. And I'm stressing on the term bits. It shouldn't be anything long-winded. You've got the bulk of your information there and you're touching it up because you've got new people coming through. It's like a revolving door. So although it may be stale to you, it's new to the person that's planning a wedding. Always a new person coming through. So there's no need to recreate your content. Different clients, but the information that they need is the same. So getting back to this give to get marketing, here are some examples of what I'm talking about. So I mentioned the local wedding blog with tons of local wedding information. And the key is local, hyper-local. There are lots of general wedding blogs out there. Very few wedding blogs focus on the area that person is located. That's what you want. People want to know the deal with getting married where they are. What's going on in your neck of the woods? Who's the great photographer in your area? Where can someone get a photo booth? How does someone, if somebody wants to do a candy buffet at their wedding, where's the best place to get the candy? Do they have to get it online? Is that the best place? What about the containers, the jars for the candy? Where are the great places locally to get that? Can you share that with someone? What about hosting a local wedding workshop for area couples? Miss Clarissa's Shop Taste Dance comes to mind. She's someone who routinely does these local events where she includes wedding vendors, invites brides, and it's a very laid-back atmosphere. She has a YouTube video. I've got to see if I can post the link. But it's a lot of fun. But just by being the host of that event, she's positioned herself as a local wedding expert. Is everyone that attends going to hire Clarissa? No. But there will be a great number of people who will. And even if no one hires her from one specific event, I will bet money that they're using her name and referring her to other people. So when someone says, a sister, cousin, a friend is saying they're getting married, they'll say, you know what, I went to an event, or I heard about an event. There's this woman that does these bridal events. You got to give her a call. She can probably help you. Or even if they don't need a wedding planner, maybe they need another vendor, they may contact you. You want to be that resource. What about hosting a local wedding podcast? There's that other word. For a special niche of clients. Podcasting means when you're listening to audio, you can do other things. As you're working out, driving, coming home from work, in the kitchen, in the garden. You can listen as you go. So maybe you specialize in same-sex weddings. Make your podcast about that, but make it hyper-local. What about last-minute weddings? I've been dying to do this. do it before I do. People who are getting married in a hurry need that information. And if they can listen to that, digest that in a podcast, why not do that? Why won't you do that? It doesn't have to be long. If someone's getting married last minute, they don't want a long-winded episode. 10 minutes, 5 minutes will do it. And, you know, devote a separate topic to each episode. What about offering to include, it's almost like being a wedding venue realtor. What I mean is, when you find out where the hidden gems are of the local wedding venue, so there are some places that everybody gets married in, but there are some other venues that would work out perfectly for a wedding. Let's say someone's having a wedding for 50 guests or less. There may be a banquet facility or a room that's available for rent for parties and special events that you know about, but maybe that venue doesn't do a really grand job of marketing that, but you find it. So let's say you know four or five places like that. Well, then you can offer maybe, I don't know if you read on the weddingsforliving.com site, there's an article about hosting a limo wedding planning party where you team up with a local transportation company and you take people from place to place to place in one afternoon. Well, maybe you have a wedding venue tour that you do. So you stop at one place, everybody gets out of the limo, stretch limo, you show the place around, you introduce the person, the venue manager, and so forth, and let it, if anyone decides to book within a certain time frame, let's say within the next week or so, maybe they'll get a deal, or you'll throw in your day of package at a slightly reduced price, just slightly, only ever so slightly. But in doing so, you're attracting the attention. You're doing something different. You're attracting the attention of local couples getting married, your potential clients, but you've also positioned yourself as an expert locally who knows about weddings. So the key with doing that, though, is you've got to catch couples really early on in the planning process, because the venue is the first part of getting the wedding, putting the wedding together. What about offering to work with area wedding vendors? I've been talking about this for a long time. Not wedding planners. Local wedding planners aren't always open for you coming on board to work with them, but the other wedding vendors are. Again, not everybody, but if you volunteer your time to work to do one wedding next month with your favorite, I don't know, I always, you know, default to the photographer or maybe the florist, helping them with the next wedding at no charge, because you want to learn what it is that they do, and that's how you got to position it. You can then talk about that on your podcast or write about it on your blog, or maybe you mention it in the next wedding workshop that you do. But you're now positioning yourself with a wedding vendor who can send you business. And remember, I said that was one of the two things that I know for sure is a great way for you to get customers. So what will happen is that local wedding vendor that you're working alongside, when he or she runs into another client that needs help with their wedding, they're going to suggest you. That's what you want. Another angle, maybe you start a local wedding themed charity or a chapter of an existing wedding themed charity. For example, Bridesmaids Gowns for Proms. So the idea is that usually bridesmaids gowns, I don't care what anyone says, most of the times they're not worn a second time, but usually bridesmaids gowns will work well as a prom dress. Not everybody can afford prom. Gosh, it's an expensive event. Not just the dress, all the other bits that go with it. So if you start a foundation, an organization where you're collecting bridesmaids' dresses and providing them to young girls who are attending their prom, that's a great way for you to actually become a local wedding expert, because you know about weddings. That's going to come up in the discussion. So you're in the prime position to find out about getting bridesmaids' gowns. And the media is going to latch on to that. And I know that's not the reason for all of for what you're doing, especially with charity. But it's going to happen, because not a lot of people are thinking that way. And when you are in give to get mode, it's karma. It comes back to you. It comes back to you. And the idea is, yes, it's to get customers. But when people see that you're giving, and you truly have to give, you truly have to give, it comes back to you in the form of customers. It does. It never fails. It never fails, and oftentimes when you least expect. A few things I want to mention, too, about marketing that I think there are some mistakes. Not even I think. I know that that wedding planners are making, and it comes with the territory, because, again, we're not usually business-minded, if you get what I mean. We're usually wedding-minded. That's our focus. We're not thinking about business. The business comes afterwards because we're running a business. We're doing weddings and we're getting paid for them, hoping to get paid. Not following up or following up only once with prospects. Not everybody's ready to buy at the same time. You're going to reach out to someone who expresses interest in your wedding business. Maybe you even go through the trouble of meeting with them. And they may tell you they're not ready or they've got to look around. Many wedding planners won't even follow up after that. They won't follow up. You have to follow up. You have to follow up. Because someone says no at this moment doesn't mean no forever. There could be a million and one reasons as to why. That's not for you to determine. You just want to make sure that this person knows you are available. Send them a newsletter. Update them with tips. Check back in a few weeks to see how things are going based on their wedding date. Maybe they met with you for full service planning. 3 months before the wedding, check in and see how things are going. They didn't do full service. They might want you for day of. Day of, what's that? You get a chance to explain. You've got to follow up more than once, and just at least once. A lot of wedding planners aren't doing that. And the next mistake I see wedding planners making when it comes to marketing their business, kind of ties in with what I just mentioned, is expecting people to pay for your service or buy your product in one quick and easy step without them getting to know, like, and trust you and your business. We talked about this. Would you buy anything substantial, substantial being the key word, from a company you didn't know, like, or trust? Would you? Would you? People have to get to know you, which is why if you have that information in the form of a podcast or a blog or a wedding workshop, you've broken down that barrier because they've gotten to see what it is that you're talking about. They see that you're the real deal. Wedding planning has such a low barrier of entry. You can just say, I'm a wedding planner, print cards. Hey, you don't even have to print cards. Put up a website. Some wedding planners don't even have a website, maybe a Facebook page. And just like that, you can become a professional wedding planner. The thing is, if you're expecting people to pay you several hundred, maybe thousands of dollars for your wedding planning service and they have no idea who you are, you're misguided. Something that there's a disconnect. It doesn't work that way. People aren't going to pay substantial amounts of money unless they know something about you or unless someone has said, this is the person you got to hire. That's the warm lead I was talking about. You have to be ready for that, but you have to position yourself so that people who don't know you get a chance to know you. So when you meet someone for the first time, I hear people say, I'm doing a bridal show and I want to get, I want to get things to give out at the bridal show. And it's because, I shouldn't say that. That's not the point I want to make. They're exhibiting at a bridal show, for example, and they're trying to close the sale at the bridal show. So someone's walking around with bags of stuff, because you know how it is at the bridal shows. They give you stuff to put in a bag. And they come to your booth, and you're expecting that person to book and do business with you on the spot as a wedding planner. It could happen, and it may have happened. But that's the exception rather than the rule. That person has to get to know who you are. They've got to do some digging. That's what we do. We go online. We're going to Google the name of the company and see what comes up. You cannot expect people to buy what it is that you're selling in one step. We're not always in buying mode. The other mistake that I see wedding planners making when they're marketing their business is believing that anyone getting married within a certain radius is their customer automatically. Anyone getting married is their customer. If you're doing that right now, you're going to spend entirely too much time and possibly money chasing customers you really don't want to work with and who may not want to work with you. Sorry. If you've ever been in a situation where you've priced your services and most people are saying they don't want to pay that and they're nickel and diming you, there's a disconnect there. Either you're going after the wrong customer or you're not really showing value to that customer. Something's off there. But if you narrow down what it is that you're doing and you decide I'm only working with these kind of customers or this stage of the wedding planning process, you're going to do better. Why are you doing this to yourself? Why are you trying to market to everybody out there? What is it about you that's going to make a bride, a groom, hire you as the wedding planner as opposed to the other 15 in your area? What is it that you're doing differently? It's got to be more than how pretty your website looks. It's got to be more than that. You have to do something that's going to make you stand out, which means that you're only going after a particular segment. That's how you're going to do better in getting customers. And I know you're thinking, I'm going to lose out on business. You want to lose out on business that you don't want. Why would you put yourself in a position to work with people that don't want to work with you? Or why would you put yourself in a position to work with clients that you don't enjoy working with? Why do that? That sounds like a job to me. Plenty of those out there. Well, maybe not as many as there should be. Sorry. But you get my drift. When you're doing your own thing, I've said it before. You know what I'm about to say, right? You get to decide. Think about what it is that you want to do. Now, you've got to make sure that there are enough people to fill that niche, that specialty, which is really what I'm getting at here. But once you do your research, and that's another thing, we're not doing enough research. We're kind of saying, I want to plan weddings, and this is it, and I've got my website out, I'm not getting clients. How do I market my business? You got to think about this. So when you ask the question, how do I get customers? How do I find customers for my wedding planning business? Just remember, we don't have a lot of repeat business in this industry. So we've got to find the pieces that are repeat for us. And those people are the professional wedding vendors. You've got to believe what I'm saying to you. Those are the people you got to make friends with so that they know what it is that you do and what you want. I was just talking about getting a special type of client. Let your vendors know the kind of clients you want to work with. Let them know the kind of clients you do not want to work with. It's okay. It's okay to say that. It's okay to say that. You get to decide. And then really work at becoming a local wedding expert. I know you don't want to give a lot of information away. I know you want to charge for everything. But we've become a society where people want information and they're not willing to pay for it all the time. There's lots of wedding information out there. But if you can just get it and position it in a way where someone can absorb that information, like I said, the podcast, oh my gosh, there's that word again. But if you have a podcast where someone can listen to local wedding tips on their way to work as they're working out, isn't that a great way to consume information? You're not reinventing the wheel. You're just presenting it in a different way. That live, doing a wedding workshop, that's great. That's different. Maybe one every quarter. Do that. Get the wedding vendors, the wedding vendors that I'm telling you to make friends with. Get them on board to help you. Okay? But think about these things when it comes to finding customers for your wedding planning business. It's a very general question, but it requires you to take some very specific action. Does that make sense? I hope so. If you have questions that you'd like me to address, to try to answer for you, please call the talkback line. That number is area code 202-681-2126 is the number. Again, 202-681-2126. I'd love to hear from you. This is episode 382, I believe. So if you'd like to share this with someone else, weddingsforliving.com/382 will take them to the page where they can listen to this episode and catch up on the show notes. Also, Weddings for Living is on iTunes. So weddingsforliving.com/iTunes. I'm Debbie Quain, and you just listened to another episode of the weddingsforliving.com podcast, dare I say it. Please be sure to join me the next time around. As always, lots of love and success.
Passionate about weddings? Staying awake at night wondering if you could be a professional wedding planner? If you'd like to get paid to plan weddings, download Debbie's free audio class, 7 Truths Every Wedding Planner Should Know, and discover 7 insider secrets about what it takes to run your own successful wedding planning business. Go to weddingsforaliving.com today and get instant access to this information-packed audio class. It's yours free at weddingsforaliving.com. Go to weddingsforaliving.com now.
Visit weddingsforaliving.com.